First, if you look along the horizon this month, you might see a unique celestial visitor, the comet Neowise. This comet will only be around for a short while, and we won't be able to see it again for thousands of years. The comet isn't the only thing you can check out this month. July and August are chock full of night sky objects, from constellations to meteor showers. Our next guest joins us to talk about what you can see in the night sky and the best ways to see them this summer. Jim Lattice is director of the UW Space Place. Jim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks very much, Rob.
Let's talk about this comet, Neowise. What do we know about it?
Well, it's a new comet, not one that was previously cataloged, because, as you mentioned, it has a rather long orbital period, thousands of years. So it was discovered back in March by an orbiting observatory, which is the name Neowise comes from. And at that time, it was on its way inward to its closest pass by the sun, which happened, what we call perihelion, which happened back on July 3rd. And since then, it's been climbing out away from the sun and higher and higher into our skies, first in the morning sky. But now it's transitioned into the evening sky and much more convenient for a lot of us. It's better viewing now in the evening sky than in the morning. Best of all, it's really exceeded the expectations for a comet. It's quite a bit brighter. Brightness of comets is very hard to predict, but this one has performed nightly to the point where we can see it without binoculars or a telescope. So that's great and relatively unusual. It's the best one we've had since the mid-1990s.
I understand there's some debate in the stargazing community about whether this is a good comet or a great comet. And those phrases actually kind of mean something?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, okay. I've seen arguments online. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
You can see arguments online about a lot of things.
True.
It's a comet that if you have a chance to go look at, you should not miss. Because, as I said, it's one of the best ones we've had since the 1990s. If you're going to wait for, I don't know the definition, you're going to wait for a great comet, then that's a mistake.
Now, talk about how we are going to see this thing if we get out after sundown.
Sure. What you want to do, probably about the best time is around between 10 and 10:30 p.m. because the sky's got to get dark enough for us to be able to see it. It's over in the northwestern sky, just a little bit north of northwest, and kind of low on the horizon. So, for instance, this evening at about 10 p.m., it's roughly 15 degrees above the horizon. So that's relatively low. So to go look for this comet, what you need to do is find a site where you can look into the northwest where the horizon is fairly low. Ideal would be looking out over a lake or something along that line towards the northwest. And 15 degrees is not very high above the horizon. If you make a fist and hold it at arm's length and sort of sit the bottom of your fist on the horizon, which would be on roughly the surface of the lake, then the top of your fist will be 10 degrees. So the comet will be a little higher than that. And a big help are binoculars. I've been having a lot more success seeing it in my binoculars, whereas people with younger eyes pick it up a little bit quicker. But you'll see it over there if the sky stays clear.
And did I see we can orient by the Big Dipper a little bit? That'll get us in the right direction, roughly?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, if you recognize the Big Dipper, then at about 10:30, if you look for the bowl of the Big Dipper, and then look just down towards the horizon from there, it'll take you right by the comet.
Before we move on from the comet, talk about its flight path. It's going way, way out there now, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what comets typically do. They have very elliptical orbits, so they come in close to the sun, and then they recede to great distances. Some of the more famous comets, like Halley's Comet, for example, have very short period orbits. That's still like 76 years. It's very typical for comets to have orbits of thousands of years or 100,000 years. And the distant point in the orbit, what's called the aphelion, moves outward with Kepler's third law, moves farther and farther outward as that orbital period increases. So this comet will recede into the outer solar system before turning around and coming back. As you say, that's quite a few thousand years. So, but that doesn't mean it'll be that long before we see it, the next nice, nice comet. But take a look at this one, because they're very hard to predict.
Talking to Jim Lattice, director of the UW Space Place, talking about the NEOWISE comet and other things to see this summer in the night sky. Let's start with planets. What kind of planet viewing opportunities do we have this summer?
Well, it's actually, it's really nice. This comet has come along, as I said, it's kind of exceeding expectations. And so if while you're out, after you found the comet, 10 or 1030 or so in the northwest, turn around and look over to the southeast. And if you've got a nice horizon there, you'll see two bright objects, which are Jupiter and Saturn. Saturn considerably dimmer, noticeably dimmer than Jupiter, but they're both right over there in the southeast. And they're both relatively bright because they're both near what we call opposition, which is the point in when they're opposite the sun in the sky. So I think opposition might have been yesterday, or maybe it's today for Jupiter, and it's next week, I think on the 20th for Saturn. So they're both reaching opposition just by coincidence, about the same period of time. So they're both opposition means when the sun is setting, they're rising. So they're both rising about sunset. After you've looked at the comet, turn around over there. If you brought binoculars along to look for the comet, take a look at Jupiter, and you might be able to see Jupiter's moons. By the way, a good tip for using binoculars is to find a way to mount them on a tripod, whether for the comet or for the planet. It's especially helpful with kids if you can set up a tripod and fix the binoculars on the comet, and then let them look through the binoculars after you've already aimed them. So Jupiter and Saturn are really great. And a little bit later in the fall, not until about October, Mars is going to be at opposition and really great too. So it's going to be a great few months for bright planets.
And in August, the Perseid meteor shower is coming back for another show for us. Tell us more about why we see this particular meteor shower around the same time each year.
Well, so once again, we're talking about a comet, really. Earth crosses intersects the Earth's orbit and the orbit of a few comets intersect. So the Earth actually passes through the orbit of a few comets. That's not the case with comet NEOWISE, for example. But when the Earth passes, intersects with the cometary orbit, we encounter the debris that comets leave behind them. And when you see a comet like NEOWISE, that tail stretching out there is just an indicator that the comet is literally falling to pieces as it orbits. And the pieces get left behind, they continue to orbit as well, but it spreads out across the orbit. So the Earth runs into these bits of comet material periodically, that is to say annually, and because we get to that same intersection every year at the same time. So in the case of the Perseid meteor shower, we intersect with the orbit of that comet in middle of August, right around usually the 13th, 12th or the 13th is when the peak of the Perseid activity is. And it's a pretty reliable meteor shower. Lots of meteor showers that are pretty meager, but the Perseids produce anywhere from 50 to 100 meteors per hour. So that's pretty good as meteor showers go. With any meteor shower, well, almost any meteor shower, it's best to get out early in the morning. And that'll be true. So after midnight hours, the moon is going to interfere a little bit with the peak of the Perseid meteor shower. But if you get out a couple hours after midnight on the 12th or the 13th of August, then you'll probably see some Perseid meteor trails crossing the sky.
All right, now let's talk about stargazing with actual stars. What are the seasonal constellations we'll have a good shot at seeing this year?
Well, so excellent question. When you look over there into the southeast looking for Jupiter and Saturn, if you scan to the right, back around towards the south, the next bright object you see will be the bright star Antares, which is a bright red giant star. And that's in the constellation Scorpius. So you'll be looking right at the constellation Scorpius, which in Wisconsin is kind of low on the southern horizon, even at its best. And it's nearing its best right about now. Then if you look higher overhead then, so turn your head up, overhead, let's see, about 10:30 is a little early. You'll look a little bit off to the east. Along about pretty much high overhead, a little bit off to the east, there's a triangle of three bright stars, which are Vega, Deneb, and Altair, which are in the constellations of Lyra, Cygnus, and Aquila, respectively. That's called the Summer Triangle because those three bright stars, it's a big triangle, dominate the sky all summer and on into the fall. Really, they're actually probably highest overhead. I'm estimating here probably around midnight. But you'll see them. They'll be up nice and high at the time that you're out by, say, 11 p.m. or whenever you're out looking for the comet.
A lot to look forward to. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us again.
You're very welcome.
Jim Lattice is an astronomer and director of the UW Space Place. He joined us to talk about the comet NEOWISE and other stuff we could check out in the night sky over the course of the summer.